Company of One, episode number 57.
Welcome to the Company of One podcast featuring Dale Callahan, dedicated to helping you find freedom in life and with your career. Learn how to not only increase your income, but take control of the income you acquire. Let's ignite that inner entrepreneur in you. Now, welcoming your host, Dale Callahan.
Welcome to the show today. I want to bring you another guest. Today we have Lauren Gaggioli from HireScoresTestPrep.com. Now that may not mean anything to you what she does. She's a SAT, ACT prep coach. But the reason I wanted to bring her on is just her story was so compelling to me, her great passion for what she does. And she's kind of has a unique background in the fact that she's an actress, found that the what she did with college, what she did in acting, her dream didn't work out the way she thought it was. And she went back to something she was really and truly passionate about, a gift that she knew she had early on. So listen to the story, listen for those clues, and think about where does this apply to you? Let's welcome Lauren Gaggioli. All right, I want to welcome to the show today, Lauren Gaggioli, and from the HireScoresTestPrep.com. And Lauren and I have actually met over Twitter. She's another one of the people that I've met over Twitter, and it's just what a weird world it is. So, Lauren, thank you so much for being on the show with us.
My pleasure. Yes, the Twitterverse is a pretty amazing place.
It's been amazing. And did I butcher your last name too bad?
No, you did it great. Okay. She you didn't say the Italian way, which is Gaggioli, but that's, you know, that's a little
Well, I would have never gotten that one, so that's okay. I'm glad you didn't do that to me. And just to tell the audience here why I've invited Lauren and I, we met as part of, as many of you know, we have a homeschooling business, and Lauren and I connected largely because a lot of my audience on the homeschooling side of the world are always asking about SAT and ACT and how do you prep. And if you know, one of the things I'm always teaching people is when your customers are asking questions, there's a market. And boy, did I not want to address this market. And then I found Lauren, who does want to address, not only does she want to address it, I just, from a couple of conversations, you seem kind of passionate about it. Is that fair?
That is quite fair. My nickname in high school was Number Two Pencil Nerd. My dad came up with that. So it's I come by it honestly. And it's just something that's, it's like you said, it's a weird thing to be passionate about. But I think it always came pretty easily for me. But I had a lot of friends for whom it did not. And I felt, you know, sympathetic towards them because I could see how it could be a struggle, but it always made sense to me. Multiple choice tests, standardized testing, I always did really well. And so it was just kind of, I happened into it after I got a degree in theater and needed real work. And I started with a large test prep firm, and it was just a great fit from the start. And I really found my true calling. So yeah.
Now, so when you were in school, mm-hmm. So people were coming to you for help. I'm just guessing.
Yeah, I did actually a lot of peer. Our school had a great peer tutoring program, so I would volunteer for that. I always enjoyed working with younger students in college. I was a volunteer on Saturday mornings at a church in New York that had a program for underprivileged students. And I had two girls who were, I believe they were third graders. And, you know, we'd go through and do the remedial math and some English. And I don't know, I just always really liked it, but never considered it as a career until it was, the choice was wait tables or tutor. And so I said, well, you know, I think I'd rather tutor. And I did my fair share of waiting tables, too, because that's what you do when you're an actress in L.A. But, yeah, I just always really gravitated toward more towards the tutoring side of things. So
now, so I'm going to ask you, because the story. You know, I deal with a lot of people who are techie people, who are technologists of various worlds and sectors. You know, so tell us the story. I don't remember having any actresses. So this is great. So tell it. I mean, tell what's the path that got you from, hey, I'm in high school, to here's what I'm going to go do, to here? Can you talk about that?
Sure. Well, it actually started in kindergarten. I went to this fabulous elementary school in San Jose, California, and the kindergarten teacher was a nut. She was amazing, but she thought that wrangling 60 kids and putting a musical on every year for the kindergarten and the pre-K was just amazing, which I don't know how she did it, because these productions were amazing. And so I was in the pre-K production, and then Annie was announced, and I walked up to her. I was pre-K. I knew I would be in her class in kindergarten, and I said, I want to be Annie. And she said, okay. And so I was Annie, and I fell in love, and I basically acted and danced from the time that I was in kindergarten on. And so in high school, I was very academic, but drama, I was involved all 4 years, did musicals, all that. And when it came time to choose college, my parents said, you worked really hard in high school, you get to do whatever you want to do, which was amazing. But I liken it to them handing me the gun. And then I shot myself in the foot with it, and I went to NYU and got my degree in theater, which it was an amazing program. I learned a lot about myself from that program. But from an academic standpoint, I don't think it was the right move. We actually just talked on my podcast, and this is something that I think families really need to consider. You know, a full 4-year degree in theater is not necessarily the best use of your time and money. Why not try it out first? Because you don't need a degree to be an actor. If you have a degree, you can be an actor, but you don't need one to be an actor. So I think I would have been better served by taking a little bit of time to really test the waters. And but I didn't, and that's my path. So I'm, you know, I learned. And so then I moved back to LA because my family was in Orange County and I wanted to be close to them. And at that point, like I said, I wanted to do something a little bit different, but I needed nighttime hours so that I was free during the day for auditions and rehearsals and such. And so that's what I did for about 18 months. And then I looked at my bank account, said I didn't make enough acting to pay my rent for 1 month. And I said, well, that's not a very pragmatic path. So I completely switched gears and opened up a tutoring company back in Orange County, moved home for a while, and I haven't looked back.
And how many years ago did you start tutoring professionally?
Professionally, it's been 7 years. I've been 5 years with my in-home tutoring company. And just this January, we launched the online component. So moving towards the online business model, and I love it. I mean, we met on Twitter. That's so cool. We're sitting here talking, and we met on Twitter.
Right.
I love
and this
it.
This is the third or maybe fourth. Heck, I don't know. We've talked several times.
And, yes.
And you know, in the and this is not really the subject, but you said something to me earlier about your degree in theater actually was a negative for the community that you're in terms of acting.
Yes. Because when you want to act on stage, that's where sort of training's more coveted, and there's less of an idea of, you know, you need natural talent. It's more like, no, you need to learn how to make it real and alive 8 shows a week, and you don't get to take a day off if you don't feel like performing, you know? So it's a little more hardcore. You need that stamina, and that's what training gives you. But on the stage, it needs to be a little bigger, a little more pronounced. And this was definitely coming from the LA perspective. That's absolutely not true from a an acting perspective. But when you get to LA and you have a degree in theater, they go, oh, you'll be too big for film. Thanks for coming. See you later. They don't, you know, or they don't even call you in. Wow. So it's, yeah, it's something that, again, if I had just gone to LA, and I actually considered doing this towards the end, I considered taking my resume and paring it down and taking out my degree and going out on auditions, because I think I would have gotten further. I think there was a judgment in the negative because I had a degree. So
That's just, you know, you just don't think that that would ever happen. I've seen people with PhDs that are the same thing. They take out their PhDs from their degree. They don't want to, because it's a negative to a lot of people.
Crazy.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you're any less skilled, but there is that perception.
Yes. Yes. It's funny, really, when you think about it, because there are people without degrees who are doing great work, and there are people with degrees who are doing great work. So why not give everybody just a fair shake?
And I'm pretty sure that NYU is really a cheap, economical school, right?
It absolutely is, especially because it's situated right in the middle of Manhattan.
Yeah. What a deal. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Cost of living is very low there. I don't know if anybody has been, but, you know, I'll just tell you, it's cheap.
Yeah.
So, but it was a great experience. I learned quite a bit, I have to say.
So as you, okay, so this is interesting. Did you say you were working with a tutoring company before, or?
Yes.
So you kind of worked with somebody else in the tutoring world in California. Is that right?
Yes, you know, because test prep is a lot more of a niche, I would say. You know, there are academic tutors and there are test prep tutors, and those are sort of the main divisions. Some people cross over, but in terms of academics, I would have been an English tutor probably more than anything else, just because I couldn't remember calculus at the time, and, you know, you're so far removed from it. But I had gotten this great experience of literature. I'd read and performed Shakespeare and, you know, Chekhov and all that. And so that probably would have been what my calling was. But frankly, there's just a lot more of a need and a lot more of a known need around test prep. Some parents don't recognize that their students do need help in English, whereas I think pretty much everybody at this point realizes the importance of the SAT and ACT scores on college admissions and merit scholarships. And so you get a lot more calls for that. So that's sort of the route that I chose to go.
Yeah, I can imagine. So in terms of placing a product in the market for a value proposition, I mean, you're right. And you and I have talked about this. You're right dead in the middle. And while this is about college and stuff like this, this is true for anybody trying to put a product on the market. You got to have that, you know, what's in it for me? And I tell parents all the time as we talk to them, there's no, you know, the amount of money they spend on you is nothing compared to a couple of points on a score of a SAT or ACT can have dramatic financial impact.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And you can show, I mean, that's not hard. Every university in the country shows that for you. So it makes your job a little easier.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's very little selling on my side of the world. You know, I can tell people what I'm able to accomplish with a student, and that pretty much does it usually, you know. It's not a tough sell, and it's something that's necessary. And I love the idea that I'm helping students open the door to their brighter future. You know, that's really what, in many cases, a college degree affords students, is this opportunity. And if they can get into the school of their dreams and do so with a lot of financial aid from the college because of what those scores were, then I feel that my job is a job well done. So I love it. I love helping my kids. It's great. And the stories that I hear after the fact, it's like, what a blessing to be involved in that process.
Yes. I mean, but let me drill back. Mm-hmm. So you got started. So how long did you work? You were working for an established company. You walked up and, hey, I want to, you know, be a tutor. Was that a hard walk in to do? I mean, you're out there applying for acting jobs, and as opposed to a tutoring job, I guess the tutoring job was easier to get.
Oh yes.
I mean, was there a lot of tutors there, or did they have a high demand for that?
It was a really large company, so okay. They were always looking for people. And actually, the way it normally works is you apply, you do basically an audition. You have to teach something to someone, and if you convey the message well, then they bring you on board. I mean, there's more to it. You have to like show your scores and such from when you were in high school, but. Right. So you do that, and then you're brought on board, and you go through a training process. And in the course of that training process, you're then moved into teaching. Well, usually that's a 1-year track before you're allowed to tutor. But I had a great trainer, and he fast tracked me to tutoring. So I was actually able to get experience tutoring right away, which was really amazing. I didn't have to wait around for a year before I got to sort of experience that one-on-one connection. So, and that's the thing that I really love and try and bring to the online program as well, because I don't want to lose the connection. Just because it's online doesn't mean it needs to be faceless.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's certainly a value add. There's no question.
Oh yeah.
So you were sitting here working in an environment. I mean, I'm just painting a picture, you know, because mm-hmm. a lot of people are like, I want to jump off the cliff and go do something X, Y, and Z.
Sure.
And sometimes, you know, now you may not have envisioned yourself doing this. I'm guessing you didn't really envision a company.
Not when I started. No, yeah. Not at all.
Yeah. But you hear you were, you know, if you had, what a great way to start. You know, mm-hmm. let's look at how the big companies, let's look at how the pros, they may not be that pro, I don't know, but you know, let's look at somebody who's doing it and clearly making a profit. How do they do it and how do they operate? Now, how long did you do that?
I did that for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. Actually, customer service started to slide and I had some students get burned, and that's what actually jettisoned me off to start on my own, because you cannot leave a senior stranded. If they're a nervous test taker, you cannot do something that upsets the way that their process is going. And that happened with two of my students. And I said, I can't be a part of this, because I wasn't getting any support from the higher ups and I had no leverage to make it right. And so I thought, that's just not okay. I need to do this on my own because I know I can do it better.
So an internal company process is kind of...
Yes.
And as I look at that, that's kind of interesting, Lauren. You hit a point of pain. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously this company was not serving all the needs of the clients.
Yeah. Oh, not even close. I often, even today, will still get calls from people who have called that company, and they've been waiting for 2 weeks to hear back and never hear back. To sell a program that all they have to do is call back and they have the sale. And I kind of go, what? Okay, yes, I will help you. And frankly, in the long run, I think it's better for them that happens. Yeah. But it is unfortunate.
They don't realize it. But, you know, they're just calling. I'm just guessing they're calling the first group of people they see, and it's that big, fat mm-hmm. company that's over there, you know, that we usually all do.
Absolutely.
And that doesn't mean you're getting great service. You know, and as I look at startups, so many people I know that have started companies, that's exactly all they've done is they've been in their little domain, they understood their domain, and they found that niche that their big giant company wasn't serving. And,
yes.
And it's not always a negative thing, but you know, you find out here's that pain point that they can't deliver. And they probably, honestly, even if they put all the process together and do the best, can never deliver the quality you can deliver. I'm just guessing.
I think it comes down to being a smaller company. Sometimes you're a little more agile and you can make the changes that you need to. It's you know, if you're in a canoe, you can, you're a kayak, let's say, you can sort of bank harder and faster than a large cruise ship. So if you can be the little agile one and switch it up as needed, and I think in today's market with, you know, online being what it is, I mean, it's changing a mile a minute. And it's just, you've got to be, as I said, agile. You've got to be flexible, and you need to make changes where you can make changes, and then also decide the values you're not willing to make a change on.
Yeah.
And you stand firm on those. And that's, I think, what I see in the online space as, you know, the companies that are succeeding are the ones with those core principles who are then able to sort of tailor the processes as they need to, as you sort of kind of go down the path.
Yeah, customer service, well, it's just almost non-existent. Yeah. I mean, you know, we make fun of that. Everybody knows that. But everybody's also in the mindset that you can't compete against the big boys. But, you know, quite honestly, it seems like they're the easiest to compete against.
Oh, once you're known, now Google search is something that you kind of have to go, got to get up there so I can at least be seen and heard. But once enough people see and hear you and know that what you offer is great, then they're going to be with you till the bitter end.
Yeah. Now, we're going to go back and hit that a minute. Now, but before we do that, you started doing this, and you were doing it out of your home. Is that correct?
I actually drive to my students' homes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a lot of driving. I listen to a lot of podcasts, Dale.
I guess you do. In Orange County, the traffic, there's not a lot of traffic, so it's just big open roads, right?
Yeah. They're times of day, but I actually live in San Diego County now.
Okay.
So, and I'm serving both San Diego and Orange County. So I drove 11,000 miles in the last 6 months of 2013. Pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we're going online. We're going green.
Yeah. That's a pretty big, I mean, it's not only a big footprint, but it's a lot of, you know, sometimes the traffic's not what you would want it to be.
True. Absolutely.
Maybe all the time.
It's not LA, but it's not easy.
Yeah. Well, okay. So is that the drive to the online? Is that what pushed that?
Actually, that was not the main impetus. Getting married was, and as an in-home tutor, I'm on the road when he is home from his 9 to 5. And so looking ahead and thinking about starting a family, also, just the fact that I am limited by geography, but I love what I can share with my students. I thought, well, this is just the perfect reason for me to start getting online, because with a course that is somewhat automated, I can reach more students at the times that are better for them, and they can prep, you know, in their pajamas at 10 at night if they really want to, or you know, middle of the day, they can go to the library at school and prepare whatever works with their schedule. Whereas now, you know, I get calls and it's like, well, little Johnny can meet from 2 to 4 on Saturdays, every other Saturday, and that's the only time slot he's got. It's like, sometimes I can't fulfill that need. So there are a lot of reasons that made it the right move. But the thing that caused me to sort of realize it was that it was time, I should say, because I had been sort of sitting on this idea for about 2 years. The thing that made it the right time for me to put it out there was getting married.
Yeah. Interesting, because that's when most people would say, well, I got to quit.
Right. I mean, right.
You know, yeah. And I was telling you about Jackie Ulmer and our that's part of my mastermind group, and I wish I remember her podcast name. But she's, I mean, that was her whole drive for her business. Is she was a stay at home mom, and she wanted to. She had a husband that was a pilot, and you know, so the family situation drove her business. That's how she operated, and she's probably much better off because of it, financially including. So,
yeah, I think it's, you know, when you feel you have something to give to the world, then, I mean, what better way than online? You can reach so many more people. And that's the way I felt for a while now. And it's just, now it was time to go.
Well, so I got two questions about this, but let's just hit them one at a time. The practically speaking, so you've got a business, you're serving clients pretty much anywhere. I mean, I guess it's primarily the United States, but they're contacting you. How does that process work now that you are, you could be across the country serving my son or my daughter? How does that work?
So the way that our program works is pretty unique. I don't know of anyone else who's doing things quite this way. There's a lot of online tutoring out there, and then there's a lot of video courses. But we're sort of melding the two. And the way it works is someone comes to us, they say, hey, we want to buy your program. Great. So once they've purchased, we send them paper and pencil materials, which is a step that a lot of companies are not taking. The fact of the matter is the tests are pencil and paper. So if you've got everything online, it's different than when you go in to take the test. So we want to make sure that the preparation as closely as possible parallels the actual testing experience.
So that's a huge, I think we all know that. I'm just wondering, from a customer service point of view, that's huge.
Absolutely.
Because that's where all our kids are going to struggle.
Absolutely. And the thing is, a lot of these larger companies, they have publishing firms behind them. And so they are pushing their wares. Well, I can tell you a lot of them are not parallel to the real materials. So it costs us a little bit more, but we are very dedicated to bringing the real tests to students. So we send out a book, a big book that if anybody's prepped for the SAT, they probably know it. It's the blue book. We send that out with our workbook. And the workbook has basically little lessons. Everything's broken down into smaller bite-sized chunks. But it has the paper and pencil materials and questions that that parallel every video. So we have something like 10 hours of video, but not every student sees that because we also send a personalized syllabus. So when a student signs up for our course, they either provide us with their GPA, their PSAT scores, or a real SAT that they've taken, those scores. And we generate a personalized syllabus based on those results because I know what works for students at different levels. And so obviously it is somewhat generalized. Your student might have slight differentiations there, but generally speaking, it's going to address their needs more specifically. And so they follow this syllabus for 6 weeks. And within each 6-week course, there are 2 online group review sessions. So I host a webinar. I have all the kids who care to can email me. They can send me messages in the webinar live, and I address every question in the order that it comes in. So obviously the emails will take preference. I tape it. I don't know what decade I'm in. We record it. And even if a student wasn't able to attend live, if they ask me a question via email, it will be addressed and they will have the video playback of that webinar. So that's the other thing that I think a lot of families don't realize what an asset that is. You know, if you are working with me, the cost of those 2 webinars to work with me directly one-on-one covers the cost of the course. So you're getting someone with a lot of expertise. It's myself and my parents work with me as well. And so it's a family-run business, and we are invested in our kids. We want them to succeed. This isn't faceless. This isn't no accountability. There is someone real on the other side, and we're there to serve. So so that's how the program works, and students get 2 years of access. Now, like I said, it's a 6-week course, but you get 2 years of access because what if the student was first semester junior or even second semester sophomore? Sometimes those advanced kids want to get the test done, but then in your senior year you go, oh, I really want to take it again. Well, you have access to everything that you had before. And yeah. So you get to work with the same pedagogy. You know, it's going to be the strategies you already learned. It's just a brush up. It's not something completely new. You don't have to buy again. Everything is going to be the same. And so it's kind of helpful. I think from that perspective, it can be viewed as a brush up, which is sometimes needed. But I don't like prepping for really long periods of time, which is why I broke it down into 6-week segments per test. And so you can dive in and you have access to all those webinars every single time. I do 2 per test date. So you can continually come to those throughout the 2 years. It's up to you. But yeah, you have access to everything. So that was something that was really important to me.
I mean, that's just, you know, just the... And as we work with new business startups, you just try to bubble down the key principles. And I mean, you've done that so well. It's just,
Thank you. It's
not really hard to do that. Yet when you're in the muck of things, when you were starting this, it's hard.
It's,
you know, you start wanting to compare yourself to company X, Y, and Z and put in bells and whistles and things that cost a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing you've struggled with some of those.
Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, that personal direct service is where the huge value is. It's, I mean, you know, what's better than to have somebody have your son or daughter working directly with direct access to, you know, it's a coaching program.
Yes.
I mean,
and at a lower price point than the tutoring, which I think, you know, that was something else that I really wanted to do because my in-home tutoring's expensive. It has to be because, as I said, I drove 11,000 miles last year. You know, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into that and to be in someone's home. But it's so nice to have something that when somebody says, oh, I don't think I can afford that, completely understandable. Here's a lower priced option. You can totally take advantage of it and you're going to get the exact same service.
Yeah. And at some point in time, you're going to be like, this is my only option, I'm guessing.
That's the plan right now. You know, so, my husband and I go back and forth on this. I love working with my kids. So I may do something where it's like pro bono or, you know, keep one or two clients. But yeah, that's definitely the goal to move into the online realm entirely at some point.
You know, and that's one of the wonders of having a business is once a lot of people don't want to charge for their stuff because everything is a ministry or a service or everything like, you know, but the fact is when you're making a certain amount of money, doing that is easy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to go into the inner city or wherever to do some pro bono work, and it's also, you know, probably quite likely that you have clients that will say, just tell me what you want and I will pay it. And I'm sure they exist. I'm sure they exist now, but at some point, you know, later it's going to be, you know, as one of my buddies says, you know, when I got tired of doing something, I just took all my fees and put a zero behind them and increased them 10 times and expecting to run off all that business. Mm-hmm. And it increased.
Wow.
You know, because people really put value on stuff, but it also, mm-hmm. he says, but now the people who are paying me that are much more enjoyable to work with. They're serious.
Yes.
You know, when you, and, but you know, you got so much with what you're doing, you're moving into an area that's got so much leverage, mm-hmm. and ways that you probably don't even know about yet, as you'll probably are discovering all the time, like we all are.
Oh, yes.
But you said something. And I want to drill back because, you know, most people listening to this are starting businesses or they're in small businesses or they're thinking about something. You mentioned getting found being on Google. And I don't know if you're there yet. I'm sure you're on Google, but I don't know how easy you are to find with the big boys. Are you?
I am not.
Okay. Because there's a lot of competition.
And higher scores. Everybody wants higher scores, so it's on everybody's website, which will be great once we start ranking a little higher. But yeah, it's been tough, but I'm glad we went this route. But just in terms of keyword ranking, it's a little daunting.
Well, you know, and a lot of us are in that space. When we got started to be in the homeschool to rank for anything for homeschool, as small of a market as you might think that is pretty much impossible.
Oh.
You know, so you have to kind of niche it down. But what we've realized, even though we do rank now for the keywords we're trying to rank, but mm-hmm. is it doesn't matter. So that's my question. So Lauren sitting there thinking, I'm not going to spend a boatload of money trying to rank here, because it probably won't do any good. What are you doing? What do you do to get your product and services found? I'm thinking in terms of those people who are starting something. They're like you. They're starting it in their home. They're starting on the side, and they're thinking, I can't get any traction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm gonna have to go out and hire this marketing firm and spend $10,000, $15,000, $20,000.
Ooh, no.
Yeah, thank you.
So there are a few things. There are a few tactics that we're using over here. The first was I started a podcast. It's called The College Checklist, and Dale will be a guest very soon. So I started that because I know that there's a lot of, we talked about it, overwhelm around this college admissions thing. It's become quite the process, and it was when I applied, and I was the first in my family to go to college, so it was completely blindsiding for us. Fortunately, we were in a great school, and we had a private college counselor who helped hold our hands and walk us through it. But there's a lot of boxes to check if you do want to go to college. So I get those questions around the kitchen table, you know, your questions, what questions are you getting? There's a product to fill that need. And so the product is a free service of Higher Scores Test Prep in the podcast, where I bring on professionals who are either college counselors or in the college world, or are entrepreneurs with a unique perspective about how students can differentiate themselves, that sort of thing. And so that is probably our main focus right now, is getting that out there and visible. And so that brings people over to our website. They wonder who we are. They can find out when they get there. So that's one way. Another is something, actually, you're our very first affiliate. And so, Dale, actually, thank you. you reached out to me about some sort of affiliation, and it's sort of jettisoned this chain reaction of like, hey, I know this person, and their audience is a parallel audience who could benefit, that sort of thing. So making connections with real people who have businesses that serve like-minded clientele or, a parallel market. So that's the second. And then the third is we host contests. And so we're list building by hosting contests on Facebook and giving away one free course and then offering a great deal to those who are interested in our services. So we're sort of leveraging social media and getting to know people. I'll be going to conferences, that sort of thing. But I think the catalyst is meeting people. The podcast, I'm meeting great people. Affiliate marketing, I'm meeting great people. In doing the Facebook contest, I'm getting in touch with the people who are most in need of my services, and I'm getting to know them, and they see that there's a real person on the other side. It's not just, autoresponders all day long. They have their place, but at some point you do need to engage with your audience, and that seems to be the best way to go about it right now. And those are sort of our three prongs that we're pursuing right now.
Amazing. And in terms of affiliates, one thing, we did connect over Twitter, and mm-hmm. It's kind of amazing because I wouldn't say I was looking for you and your service, but it was so obvious because you, as a company, your company addresses a pain point.
Absolutely,
I think a lot of times we miss that. We think that these companies that are kind of, they're not directly in our space, but they're kind of indirectly in our space. We oftentimes view each other as competitors, mm-hmm. and in reality, there's so much going on that nobody wants to go off and create more. To create products like yours is very time consuming.
Yes.
and nobody wants to go do that. Why not partner with somebody who's already doing it and doing it well? And just everybody win. And that's, and I think a lot of times we miss that opportunity to step out and to do those kind of things. I know I do. I'm always guilty of trying to do everything in-house or you're trying to build everything when somebody over here is in need of my service.
Yeah.
Don't
absolutely.
Know it.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to ask you the same questions since you were on. I'm going to ask you two of the same questions that you asked me. Kind of.
Uh-oh.
when Lauren and I just did a podcast for her podcast, The College Checklist, and together, and so we just decided just to hang on here, go get a drink of water, and come back and do this one.
Yeah,
so
it's been fun.
So my question to you, two questions, and you'll know what the second one is because it's the one you stumped me on. But the first one is, as people are in your situation and they're looking at getting started, you know, they've got some things figured out. What's the practical thing? Where do they start? Because there's another place people get overwhelmed.
Look inside. You need to identify your passion. I have to tell you, putting the SAT course online was all-nighters. It was complete meltdowns at times, but it was never giving up because I knew that there's some student out there who needs what I have to provide. And so it wasn't about me. It was about them. So start inward and then connect with the people you're going to serve. Because when you can put a face on that student, in my case, or that person that, you know, don't think of them as a client either. Think of them as a person. When you can put a face on that person and serve them, nothing's too hard. You'll get through it because they need you.
Amazing. It all comes back down to service.
Absolutely.
Isn't it so simple? I mean, the work is hard. But the concept of just serving others, you know, I'm always amazed at that myself. I'm just saying this kind of, it's always shocking to me. You know, if you just serve other people, they pay you. You know, they thank you. What is it that book Daniel Lapin says? You know, they pay you and they thank you in dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but I do need to.
Yeah, it's a great book. Yeah, so that drives us to the next question. So what books? Because we were talking about books surrounding us and burying us in our houses.
yes.
So, you know, what would you recommend for the in particular? What would you recommend of a reading for somebody who is getting started? In particular, from our case, looking at a business perspective or trying to figure out what to do next.
Sure. I recommend this to students. I recommend it to entrepreneurs. I recommend it all the way around. There's two, so I get to cheat. The first is The 15 Invaluable Laws of Growth by John C. Maxwell. And reading it, I listened to it on audiobook in the car, of course. And I listened to it right as I was getting ready to sort of finalize my program and go into filming it. And there's so much in there that's applicable to students who are preparing for the test, students who are applying to college, and of course, entrepreneurs, because that's really, I think, and leaders. I mean, anybody really can benefit from it because we all should be in a perpetual state of growth. There will never be a moment of stasis. There shouldn't be. You should constantly be changing and moving and growing and move in some direction. And this book is a great guide for that. And then the second, I find that as entrepreneurs, we kind of get sucked in to reading a lot of nonfiction, which is great. There's a lot to be learned out there. But the creative, artistic side of me needs that soul feeding. And so I love, I don't know how to say it, Paulo Coelho, I think is how you say
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
The Alchemist.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite books, actually, the guy who trained me for the SAT, he and I have remained good friends, and he gave me that book, and it changed my life. And whenever I feel I'm running on empty, it's such an easy read, but it totally drives back to, it's a simple story, but it drives you back to, why are you doing this? What is your passion? What is your calling? And so it's an absolute all-time favorite, and I would highly recommend it to anybody who feels lost, needs direction. And those two in combination, you will be ready to take on the world after you read them.
Well, I was a little worried there because when you're talking from an art major, artistic person to an engineer, and you're saying, I'm going to talk about some fiction now, I'm thinking, well, obviously I better write this down because I've never read that. But I have read that one, and you are so right. It's one that right now I'm going to start reading to my sons. Great book.
Oh,
it's just amazing.
Yes. It's such a great story for that age, too. They're young teens, right?
One of them is 8 and one of them is 12. Okay. So I'm not real sure. Yep. I forget what all the content. I'm going to have to read it once myself again.
The young boy, he's probably close to 12. I think maybe a little older.
The main character of the story.
The main character, yeah. Oh, it's beautiful, beautiful story.
Well, okay. So now, tell us where we can learn more about Lauren and your company.
All right, so the company is at higherscorestestprep.com, so scores with an S, and that's where you can find out everything about the SAT program. We will be launching ACT. Dale, you said you needed ACT, so I'm putting the gas on, and we're going to get it out in late fall for you. So it was going to be spring, but we're going to get that ramped up. So that's where you can find out about the program. I'm a Twitter junkie. I love Twitter. It's my favorite online platform. So twitter.com/higherscoreslore, LOR. And that's, you know, it's more my entrepreneurial side of things. It's tied to the company, of course. But, you know, you can check in. I post silly things about what I'm cooking and anything, Giants baseball and whatever's going on. So, yeah, that's a great place to find me.
Okay. Well, great. Yeah. So Twitter. And for the space that's not on Twitter, all that world that's out there, I was there with you not long ago. And probably you were too, Lauren. I'm just guessing.
Yeah. I would get out there. It's so much fun. It's one of the more personable platforms,
it's,
I think.
It's really weird because it doesn't appear that way at the beginning, but it's definitely become – I have met so many people from multiple countries I've been on Skype with, you know, in the past few months from Twitter. How weird is that? So
that's great. Well, and actually, you can find me on Google Plus too. I'm going away from Facebook. I just don't like it. I'm still there, but
you're one of the ones drifting.
Oh, I'm out of there. And I mean, I'll probably always maintain some sort of presence, but I'm not putting a lot of energy there except for the contests. So.
Okay.
But yeah, Google Plus. You can find me. I think it's google.com/. Is it plus Lauren Gaggioli 1? Is that how – I think that's how it works.
I think that's how it works, yeah.
Yeah. I'll send you the link.
Okay. Yeah, we'll make sure we get you linked on there just in case somebody's stuck on that. So
yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us, Lauren. I drug you way more time out of you than I intended, but thank you.
This is so much fun, though.
Awesome. All right. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dale. You too.